Okay. So, can you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about yourself?
My name is Rosario Arambula. I am originally from the Valley, but I've been in Corpus roughly about 12 years already. I am a former student at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And right now, I just enjoy life.
Okay. So, what did you know about hurricanes before Harvey? Have you ever gone through this type of a situation before?
We have gone through one when I was little in the Valley. But honestly, at that point, I was so young that it was more of a camping out at my sister's house versus actually being scared because not understanding what was going on. Okay. We had a scare in Corpus maybe about 5 years ago. That one was a little bit different. I was living on my own. My daughter was older. I was working at the local JCPenney's, and I remember boarding up the retail store. There was a lot of flooding going on, and we evacuated for that one. I was in a house when I came back, very fortunate that nothing happened. That was more of a scare than an actual hit. So this is the first one that I've been in that I was affected by, personally affected by.
Okay. How did you first hear about Harvey, that you knew that it was going towards, you know, in an area where you were going to have to leave?
Oddly enough, telephone. I was in Houston, and my daughter called me to bring back some water because water was starting to finish. So then, of course, I inquired why water was finishing, and she told me that there was the hurricane coming. Then I started to follow it through social media and then just online newscasts from local stations since I was in Houston. So I came into Corpus as Harvey was following right along with me.
Sounds like fun. Where were you during Hurricane Harvey? Did you evacuate or did you stay here in Corpus?
We left. We evacuated. We went down to Harlingen. We went online and we checked the weather updates for San Antonio, Houston, and in the Valley area. The Valley showed that it was going to get some water, but it was more in the Brownsville area. So when I looked up Harlingen, which is the city I was going towards, it didn't look like there was going to be much rain. So we left 2 days before. 1.5, almost 2 days before Harvey, and we returned right after Harvey.
All right. I guess now we'll go into a little bit different. Why did you feel compelled to do this type of a recovery, going out into the areas? Did you just get asked, or was it just something that you felt like you had to do?
I don't know if it necessarily asked personally. A friend of mine, Laverne, decided to post on social media that she was going to be out distributing meals if anybody wanted to help. My health situation for the past several years has limited what I was able to do, and this was the first opportunity since I've recovered from health issues to be able to actually go out and do something. So I took advantage of it. I like the idea that, one, I was able to get out into the community and help somebody, as well with the idea of being a part of something that would make a difference to somebody else. It started as a group of girls or group of ladies and a couple of men, and we went and we distributed, and eventually we branched off and there ended up being more than one group. It's an example you set, because at the end, my daughter and her co-worker and her husband and whatnot, they ended up making another little group. So how can we affect the community if we don't show that one person can make a difference?
Okay. So what areas did you visit?
We started with, Gregory, Ingleside, Aransas Pass, I ended up in Port Aransas. And I think that was it.
Okay. So when you first went into these affected areas, like Port A, Rockport, Bayside, what did you find? Was it something you expected or, you know?
No. You see it on TV and you hear about it and it's on social media and you're watching it and you think you're prepared to see it. But when you see it, it is completely different. It is never what you expect. You expect to go in there and just see, you know, some trees brushed over and, you know, some damage. But when you're actually involved in the community and you go in and you're handing food and there's a gentleman that comes out, older gentleman comes out, and he's wanting to tell you he's got a tree going through his roof and there's nobody to help him. So you're not expecting that. You're expecting to see the damage. You're not expecting to feel the emotion or to hear the stories that make it more personal.
Yeah.
So it was worse than what I expected.
Okay. What were some of the problems you encountered when gathering supplies?
Believe it or not, the hardest is most people don't help. You know, you do have your close-knit friends or family that does want to help and they don't think you're crazy for doing it. You come across the problem of it's hard to get somebody to contribute to something they don't want to personally do or feel that it's important to do. I came across a lot of good job. Oh, somebody should do something like that. But it was never, well, let me go out there and help you. Or let me go out there. Oh, you know what? Come by and you can pick up anything, everything, whatever. We were accepting anything. I think that's more of what I encountered. That you think the whole community is going to come together. And it doesn't.
Okay. So when you were going out and you were feeding these people, were you having problems finding, like, the milk, the eggs, water, bread?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I had a friend bring in bread from out of town for me. My brother brought in water for me from out of town, and soap. We were not able to locate even bug spray for the residents out there because that was one thing that they were requesting. We had trouble finding tortillas to make them breakfast tacos when we were doing the breakfast runs. We had trouble with burger buns. We had trouble with eggs was limited. You were limited on how many eggs you could purchase. And even that started to become scarce. So we definitely noticed the limited supplies that were available.
Okay. So how long did you continue these deliveries and how long did the group themselves continue?
I probably did about a week. I had to return back to Houston for personal reasons. I did about a week. The group switched over. We did food for the first part of the week, probably the last day of the week or the last two trips that we did were more supplies than food. There were still some snacks in there, but it got to the point where people were asking us more for the cleaning supplies, just trying to get their stuff back in order. Trash bags, mops, bleach. You know, just your basic, let's try to clean and recover our home. The group kept going. One of the groups kept going probably another week. They probably did at least 2 weeks altogether because we switched. We collected food for the animal shelters. We did supplies. We did food. Pretty much anything we could get our hands on that we knew people needed.
So, what were the kind of reactions you received during your deliveries, and how did the people you were helping out respond to them?
We had both kind of responses. We had the response of complete gratefulness and shocked that there was just somebody out there wanting to help because we weren't part of an organization. Laverne, that started the group, I knew her from school, from A&M, and then some of the ladies that she also brought into the group, they were from where her children go to high school. And so it wasn't an organization. We were just people. We knew each other and we were willing to come together to the work. So they were surprised when they would ask us if we were part of an organization. And we said, no, we were just wanting to help and we were just handing out hot meals. They were very thankful and grateful for what they did receive. We did hear a lot of the times like, oh, I'm so glad it's something hot. You know, we're tired of eating sandwiches. We haven't had electricity to warm up anything or cook anything. So when they received either a hot breakfast taco or a burger, it was a reaction you didn't expect to see, because we have burgers and tacos every day and don't think anything of it. But when they had been eating cold sandwiches for a week and we told them we had a hot meal, it was heaven sent to them, because they were tired of eating cold cuts. Every now and then we did encounter the reaction of like, oh no, I don't need anything. And they were kind of standoffish. And at first I almost took it personally, like, I'm trying to help you and you don't want my help. But then I had to step back for a minute and realize they don't know me no more than I know them. And the same way for us, we didn't knock on any doors because we didn't know what we were going to encounter on the other side of the door. I am sure they felt the same way. They don't know what I'm putting in my breakfast taco that I'm giving them, or they don't know who I am, or if I'm out to use that as just a lure to cause damage to them. So after the first couple of times, I started to realize that it wasn't so much that they didn't want the help or didn't need the help, but it could have been that they were scared of the help, since we weren't an actual organization.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so through social media, we have seen inspiring acts of human compassion and kindness in helping not only their loved ones, but also strangers. Have you witnessed any acts of courage or anything that inspired you in the midst of this tragedy?
Well, I was already volunteering and doing my with the girls and distributing. I got a phone call from a brother of mine that we had a falling out maybe like 10 years ago almost. Called and asked me if he could come stay at my house in Corpus, because he was going to bring a group of guys from Harlingen to go cut trees down in Rockport. Didn't know anybody. Wasn't asking for anything. Brought everything required to sustain himself out there working. And they came in. They brought supplies additional to what they were going to use, and they went out and cut trees starting at 6 a.m. that first day that they were allowed to go into Rockport, and came home when the curfew was kicked out, and they did it for the weekend, and they came back and did it again with no regards to the expense they were incurring, no regards to, well, you know, who's going to compensate us for anything. You know, I saw that personally within my own home and my own surroundings. And then being back and forth between Corpus and Houston, I saw a little bit of that in Houston as well. People were just showing up to help. We heard a lot of stories of when we were handing out food that, well, the neighbor just came over and I haven't talked to my neighbor. I just moved into the neighborhood and they helped me put up my windows, you know, coverings. Something that typically wouldn't have been done on any other circumstances. So you did see the community come together when it needed to.
Okay. So you said you were in Houston. So what kind of devastation did you see there compared to what we had here?
Wow. It's as horrible as it's going to sound, we were almost a drop in the bucket compared to what I saw in Houston. Where my sister lives, where I'm staying, it runs through Buffalo Bayou. So it's the area that I traveled. And the whole streets were closed because there was nothing left. There was nothing but devastation. When the street finally opened and you drove through a street, the debris piles of trash were probably twice as tall as I am, covered both sides of the road, and was even being dumped in the medium in the center because people had nowhere to put the trash. The smell was getting bad. The debris was everywhere you could think of, and it had effects as far as even traffic. when I went back in after Harvey hit to Houston, when I left Corpus, what should have taken me 30 minutes to drive took me 3.5 hours because all major roads due to Buffalo Bayou overflowing were shut down, and you were going through neighborhood streets and you saw the aggravation and the irritated just residents because they couldn't get in and out of their driveway. Everybody that was on the road driving through these typically really quiet streets, everybody in Houston was on that same little street.
Okay. So what have you learned about yourself during this type of a occurrence, this tragedy, or this Mother Nature taking its revenge?
About myself, probably that you can affect more. I can affect more than what I think I can. I thought I was just going to make an effect to the person I handed a hot meal to. But in reality, I affected my daughter because she decided to take part, which she affected her coworker, which affected her husband and her mother-in-law. So I think I've learned that even one voice or one small action can actually make a ripple of effect that just carries on. I learned that if you really want to make a breakfast taco or a burger, you will find a way to produce the product needed for it. Either calling in favors, driving to 10 different stores, and you realize it isn't such a shame to spend your last $10 on making hot meals for somebody else. You know, you always want to say, well, if it's my last $10, let me hold on to it because I might need it. But you, in a time like this, you learn or you realize that those $10 didn't mean to make a difference to you, but $10 let you feed, you know, 50 people. Then it was like, okay, give it up. And it was a lot easier. You know, you learn, well, I learned for myself that you just, you survive. I mean, whichever means necessary, you survive. I survived listening to all the chaos and all the social media by going out there and doing something. You know, I survived by showing the next generation of like my daughter and then her coworkers, same age group, that you can survive. You just got to get out there. And if you just put it out there, it'll eventually come around and people will gather and you'll see the appreciation. So you learn to survive.
Okay. All right. So I remember you said that you were not here during Hurricane Harvey. You came back home after Hurricane Harvey and then you left again after a week, went to Houston and then came back. Was there anything did anything happen to your house down in your neighborhood?
My apartment complex was very fortunate as far as we did not lose power. I did not stay the whole duration. I left and I came back. Harvey hit and then I came back 1 or 2 days later and my neighbor stayed in Corpus and she was back in the apartment the following day after Harvey and we never lost power. My apartment complex did have some damage. There was the typical trees down, which no trees landed on any of the housing, so that was great. There was just tree debris all over. Some of the buildings though did have the roof pulled off. And so there, you know, across my building, that's 1, 2, 3. There was 4 apartments affected because the roof got pulled, so the water went in, and so they had damage. My personal unit just smelled wet. My door was, had expanded from the water. I'm trying to think of how to say it in English. From where the water was hitting my door expanded. So when I opened and closed it, it was a harder, open and close. But that was probably the extent of damage to my apartment. It just smelled wet. Like it had almost gotten wet, but there was no water damage in the house. There was no windows broken. There was, in my personal unit, but our air system is connected to 8 units are connected. So I'm not sure if it was maybe a unit in the back and the smell just kind of carried through. But no, I was very, very fortunate that I had no damage to my home except for picking up roof debris off my front area and stuff like that. But no, nothing serious happened to my actual unit in the apartment complex.
Okay. All right, so last question. Is there anything else that you can remember from what y'all did or anything else that you want us to know?
It's not over. You know, we went out there for a week and we handed out hot meals and we saw the shift of people were starting to get electricity coming back on, or there was more means of them finding food and supplies, but it just shifted. The next thing they needed were then the cleaning supplies. So the cleaning supplies were what was starting to run out and what was being requested. But there's still trees out there that still have to be cut. You know, there's still homes that haven't been repaired because the money's not there, the insurance hasn't gone through, or unfortunately it's, you know, elderly couples that don't have anybody to go out there. So I think I've learned that even though the hurricane was, you know, devastated us for 2 days, you know, and we were without electricity a week and we're here now over a month out, but there's still so much damage to Harvey and it's kind of been forgotten. You know, I had to go into Port Aransas about a week ago, and the pile of debris that they've started a landfill, I guess you could say, you could probably stack two houses on top of each other and the debris is still taller. So we're not done. You know, everybody kind of forgot about Harvey and it's no longer on social media. You don't see what's being done out there anymore, but there is still so much work to completely recover from Harvey that I think we forget. You know, we're so in tune to what's the newest, hottest topic on social media, you know, that we forget that even though there's a new topic, that other one is still exists. And there's still many people that are still affected or have been dislocated from their homes because there was nothing to go home to. So I think we just need to keep in mind that we can be devastated and hit for 2 days, recover for a week, but it's going to take us almost a lifetime for some of us to put everything back together.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your time.
No, thank you.